Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Gina Bianca podcast, where we talk about life, business, entrepreneurship, the beauty industry, and beyond. My name is Gina Bianca, life and business coach, salon owner, educator, mastermind mentor, and your host of the Gina Bianca podcast. Discover the essence of Italian craftsmanship and beauty with Alpha Parf Milano Professional. From revitalizing hair care and treatments to vibrant color collections, experience the luxury of the Italian house of beauty. Celebrating a global commitment to elevate the beauty craft through advanced formulation, technology, practical salon solutions, and consistently superior results, one bottle at a time. Alpha Parf Milano Professional. Where glamour meets sophistication and hair care perfection. Product Club is a premium hair color tools and accessories brand that provides high quality tools, apparel, back bar essentials, and valuable hair color education. They offer the most innovative products to help professional hair colorists elevate their craft and excel in their work behind the chair. The Product Club Color Blending Brush is a new tool that should be added to every hair colorist's toolkit. Great for wet balayage and quick color melting, the long, flexible bristles distribute color evenly. It has a rectangular-shaped paddle that gets close to the root and hairline, so it's also ideal for root touch-ups, toners, and glaze applications. The bristles glide gently through the hair to distribute and blend color evenly for full saturation. It has ball-tipped bristles that gently detangle the hair and a comfortable ergonomic handle that gives you full control. Blending color couldn't be easier with the Color Blending Brush, and you can get it now at productclub.com. What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Gina Bianca podcast. We're here for another amazing episode of Salon Ownership Unfiltered. I'm here with Nina Lanson. She's one of my mastermind members and someone who I've gotten really close to over the past few years. She's the owner of Air Studios, and she's based in New Jersey. Hi, Nina.
Hey, Gina.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for doing this. So I'm going to go right into our questions and kind of get to know a little bit more about your salon. And I'm really, really excited to have this conversation with you because you're like an OG salon owner. Like, I feel like we're cut from the same cloth. You had another business model before. So I just can't wait to dive into all that.
Let's do it.
Awesome. So how long have you been in the business? Like, what did your journey look like when you were starting and up until now?
So I've been in the beauty industry for over 20 years now. I finished cosmetology school in 2003. I was an esthetician. I worked in sales for a pharmaceutical grade skincare company. I've worked in sales in other companies as well. I opened a business when I was 18 years old. So I've been in business for a very long time. And then I opened a hair salon. It was a full service, huge salon, spa, you know, the whole thing, almost 13 years ago in beginning of 2011. And then closed that business about almost, I guess, a little bit over 3 years in and opened the concept, which is a salon and a blowout bar.
Awesome. So you went from having like the full thing to doing a different model. Why did you switch that?
So when I originally opened the salon and spa, that was the big thing. Remember, everybody said spa, the nail salon said spa, everything said spa. So, and I, as an esthetician, I wanted to do a spa. And then what I saw was that the hair was just taking off. And also I saw a trend start shifting. That's when the blowout bar started opening up. You know, we started seeing them more in cities. And I was like, why don't I bring this to our community here, to our smaller community? People here would certainly love a $25 blowout, you know, where no upcharges for length or thickness. And just, I wanted to create convenience. So when I opened the concept, we still did skincare and we still did massages. And then the blowout bar just took over, like literally took over. And then we got rid of the, skincare massages and just focused on hair and makeup.
Awesome. And you still have that location? Awesome. And you opened another location very recently, right?
Yeah, so we just opened a couple of, I guess, 3, 4 months ago at this point, Air Salon Studios, about 25 minutes away from where the salon is, which is a salon suite concept.
Awesome. Amazing. And I've been asking everybody this question, like, it's just fun to like learn from all of the salon owners, and everyone has a different answer. But do you have any like business education? Did you go to beauty school and you're just winging it? Or do you have any like formal business training that you went through or that you would recommend?
So I said I opened, the first business at 18. It was actually at 16. I misspoke. See, I don't want to age myself. And that's with my dad. My father is probably one of the most brilliant people I know in business, and I've learned a lot from him. A lot of it came from, candidly, what not to do. A lot of it was what to do because he is really old school. You want to talk about old school? This is old school, old school. And some of the principles, the elementary things are going to be the same regardless of 20 years from now, 200 years from now. And then, of course, some things have changed. So I learned so much from him. That was a lot of my business education. I also tried to learn as much as I could from people that I worked with. But nothing formal, no.
Awesome. I love that. Me too. I love that you say that because, like, in beauty school, we learn horizontal, diagonal, and vertical. And we learn things that, like, will never change, like those key principles. And in business, there are a lot of key principles like that. And although, like, the world changes and things need to evolve a little bit, there are still those core principles. So that's amazing. You have that foundation from your dad. Let's talk about Air. The business model is suites, and what's the vibe there?
Oh my God, the vibe is everything that myself and my team, who are all current beauty professionals. I mean, the people working on this are all stylists, we're stylists. I've literally interviewed so many salon suite owners that rent suites in other states prior to opening, to see what people want, what they don't want, what works, what doesn't. The vibe is everything I would have wanted if I was renting the suite. So what makes us different is, number one, we didn't cram a bunch of suites into a facility. What we did was we created in the center, a lounge, which is like you walk into a five-star hotel, you always have that beautiful lounge where people are relaxing, more like a library feel. It's just, very high end. This is where clients go to process. This is where they wait for their technician. So they're not sitting around in the hallways. It really elevates the whole experience for our clients and their clients. Also, we have an on-site education center right here because, again, what would I want? The most important thing, I think, to a lot of, but especially in our industry, is education. How do we continue advancing ourselves? While core principles will always remain core principles, there's always, as we know, like always something new. So I wanted to bring that in-house right here. We're actually doing the class as we speak, on business and accounting and finances, and everything is geared towards people's success. So it's not just technical, it's lifestyle classes, all kinds of education to help our people advance, and not just for our renters, but really for the general community, in the beauty industry. So
Awesome.
those two things, we have huge suite. Our suites are really big. They're affordable rates. One thing that I think makes us also different is the fact that we're not cookie cutter. In other words, we provide the essentials, but not everything, like as far as cabinetry goes, because if I know anything about people in our industry is that we are creative and we want to make our mark. And I didn't want supercuts. I didn't want, for people to walk in and every single suite is the same because we're such individuals, and this is the way we express ourselves, like in the way we dress and your business. What better way to express yourself, right?
Yeah.
But make your mark.
I love that.
I
So
guess
they're
some
allowed to customize and make it their own
absolutely.
things.
make it completely your own. It's your business, make it your own.
I want to tell you guys about the best kept secret in the beauty industry, Marlo Beauty Supply. I used to spend so much time searching for the salon essentials I needed at the best prices that worked for my business. As soon as I found Marlo, the search was over. Marlo Beauty Supply is a one-stop shop that is only for beauty professionals, meaning their prices are super low and they don't sell to your clients. Their shipping is so fast and ordering is easy. Just make a free account at marlobeauty.com or place an order by phone with their amazing customer care team. They ship right to you, leaving you more time for your business. Head to marlobeauty.com to create your free account and to start shopping for all of your salon and spa needs.
Awesome. And I'm assuming if they're going to be doing that and making that investment, they sign like a one-year lease or something like that?
No. Nope, I don't make anyone sign a one-year lease. Why? I want to give people flexibility and freedom to live their life. I'm not a litigious person. If somebody wants to leave and if it's not working out for them, it's not working out for them. I'm not going to go after them regardless. Why put shackles? I try to create an environment where it would be stupid for anyone to leave and go elsewhere. And if they really need to leave, it's because of family reasons or because of life reasons. It has nothing to do with, you know, our facility. People we actually have somebody who is moving out of here and she's like, I will write you a referral. Like I will, you know, I want you to fill this suite because I would never leave if I didn't have to. And that's what I want. I'm not going after people regardless if they're leaving, you know?
I love that.
Thank you.
So what's your daily role as the owner? Like, what does your day-to-day look like? Because you have your other location, you have your like family, you have the new business. You know, walk me through like your week.
Oh my God. Okay. Every week is different. Every day is different. I try to plan, but we plan and God laughs usually. That seems to be the story of my life, but it's all good. So I try to divide my days. Again, it doesn't always happen. I try to focus on one business at a time. So like today it's air day, specifically air. I'm here, I'm on location. I greeted our, you know, educator. I was here with the people, you know, for the education. I'm now here with you. I'll probably stay here until about 3-4 o'clock when I have to go home. I have 3 kids as well and a husband, you know, and you have to tend to that. That's a very big part, an important part of my life. So today's that. Tomorrow, I'm going to focus on the concept and hopefully work from over there. Truthfully, I haven't been there as much as I want to be because, you know, this has taken up so much of my time. Setting up a business, as you know, is it's like giving birth to a baby. It really is. It needs you. You need to be here. Even suites that are, you know, supposed to be turnkey. I don't want anything that's so turnkey that I don't need to be there either. Because I want to be a part of the business to help it grow and to help the people here grow. That's part of the package that you get somebody who is involved. So I try to be as involved as possible. And with the salon, even though I'm not there, I'm on the phone with them all day. You know, they'll call me for personal things. They'll call me for business things. I try to lead by example and be present and consistent and proactive as much as I can be. So the week is like, you know, Wednesday, I am, you know, now I have doctor's appointments and take my kids to places. So that's like my you know, phone call day, getting back to people, you know, emails and things like that. How many emails do you have that are unopened probably right now as we speak?
They never stop.
They don't stop. They never stop. So it's like my day to kind of catch up and just do personal stuff, you know, if I need to like go get my nails done and things like that. And then Thursday I'm working solely on air. I'm going to be working with Dana, who is in charge of our events and education. We're going to be working on all the amazing educators we have coming in and contracts and things like that, you know, and then Friday probably concept and air, you know, and then that's, and then weekends, we still work, you know. I'm going to be here because we're doing our grand opening this weekend. So I'm going to be here the entire weekend. And that's just kind of in a nutshell, not including all the personal things that I do try to set myself up, you know, for a good, successful day.
I didn't tell you this before we started recording, but I usually tell all of the people before we started recording for the series. I was like, you're talking to salon owners or people who want to be salon owners. So I love when a salon owner walks me through their week. I totally relate to it. I actually like can't even look at my, like, I can't look ahead. I have to do one day at a time or else I will be overwhelmed. So I would just do one day at a time.
Well, you know, I heard this amazing quote recently. I don't remember. Was it Ben Hardy? I don't remember. I think it was Ben Hardy who said it. And he said, an entrepreneur has a telescope in one hand and a, what is it? A microscope in the other. So it's kind of like you have to be close. You know, there, you have to just take it one day at a time and then just see the grand picture, you know, and it's so true. That's probably what we do. You have the big picture, but you can't think about it like, you know, 2 weeks at a time.
You can't, it's too much to take. There's too much going on to like look ahead too far at like the day to day, because you can't you gotta focus on what's in front of you.
Exactly.
And I love, like, for people who want to be a salon owner, it's like every person I've talked to, the lifestyle is go, 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 go. Like, it's very, you're putting out fires. The emails never stop. You got to be there for all different people. Sometimes you have to drop everything for one thing and then reconfigure everything. And it just is what it is. Do you have managers helping you at the concept?
So I do have people helping me. I had a manager who I love her to death, and I'm so happy for her. She was like, listen, I want to travel while I'm young. I want to take the time to go and do. And, you know, it's bittersweet because you grow, you, I don't hire anyone with a following. So pretty much everybody that comes to me starts pretty early on. Either they worked as an assistant elsewhere for a little bit and then came here, like, you know, and so I've watched them grow, and her in particular, I watched her grow from an assistant elsewhere to a, you know, stylist here, and then like really blossom, you know. And when she came to me and said, of course, it's sad, but it's, it comes with the territory. So right now I do, but I also have longtime people who know how to run the business and they come to me. So I feel like I do have really good people where I don't need, like, I'm not in need of a manager so badly right now.
Support there. Yeah. So
such amazing support. Awesome. Such amazing support.
So you have two different models, and like, I'd like you to answer this question for the two models. So what does your ideal employee look like? So someone coming to interview at the concept first, like, what are you looking for in that employee? And then, or like in a manager or an assistant or somebody, like, what qualities stick out to you? And then same for your renters, like, what are you looking for over there?
So for the employees, I try to gauge work ethic first and foremost, and trustworthiness, you know, that's a big one. And it's, how do you know that? Everybody talks a good game, you know. Everybody will talk a good game. They'll talk your ear off. I mean, at this point, I've become, I feel like I can read through the BS for the most part. Of course, you still make mistakes. But what we do is, because it's not just me. It's not just me. We have a team-based salon. So before people even interview with me, they go through our team. So they'll start with the person hiring, then they'll meet one of the team members, they'll interview with them, then they'll come in for a shadow day, which is a chance for them to interview us and see if this is the vibe they want to work in, and also a chance for us to see if this is somebody who fits our vibe and somebody we want to work with. I always say to my team, we don't have to love one another, we don't have to be in bed with one another, but we have to respect one another, and we don't certainly have to be the same. How boring would that be? But we have to align in our values. So we look for people who align with our values. One of our values is a work ethic. You know, there's no way around it, because when you come to us, again, we don't hire anybody with a book. We pretty much hand you a book. And if you're like, I don't want to be busy. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to pick up the phone. I don't want to help out the front desk, or I don't want to do this, probably not the right place for you. So that's why we do the whole shadow situation. And then, does that answer the question as far as the salon?
Sure, for sure.
And then as far as the renters are concerned, believe it or not, I've said no to a lot of people. And the reason being is that it's a community. Yes, people are working individually and independently, but we are still building a community here. And the same goes, we don't have to love one another, but we have to be respectful. And so I look for people who are goal-oriented, not somebody who's like, oh, let me see if this is going to work out. I don't really know. Oh, I just started this. I just started doing hair. Yeah, I've been licensed for 5 years, but I've worked here and I've worked there and I've worked here and I worked there. Turnover is not the worst thing in the world because you learn something, especially beginning in a business, but it's not the best thing in the world either.
Expensive.
It's a very expensive proposition, especially because we do give so much. We do give, weeks of free rent. We help to set people up. We, open our doors. We have a community here who is so welcoming. And so I don't want that either. So we really look for people who are somewhat established, and are ready to take the leap to be an entrepreneur. It's not for everyone, Gina, as you know, it really isn't.
Totally. Yeah, I agree with you. It is a red flag to us when we have someone coming in and they're straight out of beauty school. They have no experience. And it's like, we know this isn't going to last. Some people, it works out, but it really depends on the person. If they have that work ethic, if they have that, vibe. And, I really don't like doing rental for anybody who has never done it before because it's like, I don't want to be the one to take that hit.
That's smart.
Maybe let someone else take that hit, and then when they're ready, they can come here. But it's expensive. Turnover is expensive for every single business. So if you want to be a salon owner and you're not a salon owner, turnover is when people leave. So for employee-based salon, you go through the whole interviewing process, which you're usually either your time or you're paying someone to interview. Then they come in and do the whole onboarding, and then they do all of the training. So 90 days in, you've paid other people and paid this person to get settled. And then if they leave before a year, it's a big waste of money.
It is.
It's a lot of money. And with rental too, I think reputation wise, I think turnover kind of sucks because you have somebody, you promote them, you get them in there, you get them all excited, and then if they leave like right away, and then oh, now they're you just promoted them and now they're at a new place. It's kind of more reputation wise and expensive, but more expensive with employee base. What do you think?
I agree. I agree. I think with rental too, one of the reasons why, like I was saying before, that I don't put people under contract is because what's worse than turnover is somebody being here and like being unhappy, being just, let's call it what it is, like a cancer in a society, in a community that's trying to grow. That's even worse. For me, luckily, the renter, for example, that is leaving, she's leaving for personal reasons, and where she's going to go, it's so far away from here, it really is not an impact on us. They're trying to do something different, for their lives, for their children, that makes sense. But I completely agree with you. It's not the best thing for reputation when, it's a revolving door.
Exactly. Okay, so let's see. We answered a bunch of other questions. Okay, so I've been asking all the salon owners this, and I guess this would be more for the concept than anything. Is your salon gratuity free?
You and I had that conversation, remember? I would love for my salon to be. I'm still standing firm on that. I know, I love the fact that we have a difference of opinion on that, but I stand firm in the fact that, and it's not just me, it's my entire team pretty much is on board, and they're the ones pushing for gratuity free.
Really?
Yes.
But they just want like a
Well,
pay increase.
I think they just want to be, they don't, they work. I'm going to shout out these amazing girls that I work with. They all work so hard. You want to talk about hard workers? These are hard workers. These are hustlers. They give their all. They treat this business like their own. They really do. They look out for this business, from our front desk girls to the, blowout bar, to the full service stylist, to the girls who do the makeup. I respect them more than anything. And, you know, that to me is like the biggest compliment when somebody, I respect them, and they're all much younger than me, and I respect them. And it's disheartening to them when people come, I love my hair, it's the best thing on the planet, I've never been happier. And then, you know, they spend 4 hours with them and they leave them, you know, $10 or $5. And I know a tip should be just, you know, it's like a nice thing. But at the end of the day, I can't afford, with the rates that we're charging, to pay them what they truly deserve to get paid per hour. I just can't afford, because, you know, people will cancel the entire day. That happens. It happens. Business happens. Life happens. Shit happens. And it's not, you know, I would love for it to be gratuity for them. It's not going to make it easier for me or for my business at all. It'll make it a lot harder for me and my business, a lot harder. But for them, I think it'll give them the peace of mind, and it will make them feel like the professionals that they deserve to feel like.
Yeah, it's a hot topic in the industry, and I love asking salon owners their take on it. So thank you for sharing it. I love it.
Of course.
Okay, so another question, like when it comes to like hiring people, you looking for the work ethic, you're looking for people who are serious about it. Do you have any pet peeves? Like, you know, somebody, and I, of course we could say the opposite of those things, right? But say you're doing an interview with someone, is there anything that happens and it's like an automatic no?
In an interview, I just interviewed someone
through the whole process. Maybe they were
right. Sure. Let's talk about it. Yeah. Okay. So let's go for an interview. I just interviewed someone about 2 weeks ago, somebody that my team was like, we really like her. She's great. So I sit down with this girl. We're talking. Gina, she kept picking up her phone and looking at her phone as I am asking her. So I said, do you have somewhere to be? Is there something important that you need to be doing right now? And she was like, oh, no, I just, you know, I just had to check what? Why do you need to check? What are you talking about? So that to me is a pet peeve. Don't do that. You know, be where your feet are. Be present. Because how are you going to talk to my clients when they come in? How are you going to talk to the people that you're working with? Are you going to be checking your phone while they're talking to you? That to me is like, I can't. People do that. I can't. Like, just stop. You know, nobody's that important. Nothing is that important. And if it's that important, excuse yourself and say, I need to make a phone call. So that's that. Same thing is with people, you know, this doesn't happen in my salon, but I have seen this happen in other places, because sometimes my girls are too busy and I have to go somewhere else to get my hair done. You will walk in, especially like a blowout bar, and people will be sitting in a stylist chair. They're the stylist sitting in the styling chair with their phone looking, and I mean, how unprofessional. Go in the back. You know, like that to me is a big pet peeve. Also, people not acknowledging you when you walk in, huge pet peeve.
I hate that.
Oh.
I hate when someone's on their phone at the desk.
No, stop. Nothing is that. Stop it. That's a no, like an automatic no.
I don't know if I said this like on any of the other interviews, but I just want to say it. Another pet peeve that I have is when someone has a dirty mirror. Like I always tell people to sit in their chair and look at their station. Is there dust? Is there grime? Is the product all gross? Like, is your mirror clean? Like a dirty mirror. Like if I see them in my salon, I'm like, this place is trash. Like I cannot stand a dirty mirror. Sorry, I just had to.
Dirty mirror? No, dirty mirror, dirty sink. How? Oh, no. Like, and this is what I tell my team. Your station is your office, and that's you know, for the front desk, that's their office. And I tell the stylist, because you know, we have a very close-knit group, and it's like, you know, they want to come and talk about their date and talk. I'm like, you're literally walking into somebody's space and you're disturbing them. Like, what if I came up to you while you're doing an updo and I just started taking the bobby pins out of your hands as you're doing? Like, no, they're working. We have to respect. So like, that to me is a pet peeve. Don't just come and start talking about something while somebody's trying to do their job, because you're preventing them from succeeding. So that to me is a pet peeve. A pet peeve is just people sitting in the back and BSing. There's a time for that. There really is. I don't want to say, you know, there's no time to relax and whatever, but during the workday, eat, do what you need to do, go to the bathroom, eat, do, you know, get yourself, refreshed. If my husband used to work at the, he grew up by the boardwalk, by the ocean here, not too far actually from where my business is now. And he used to work for this guy who owned arcades, a very successful businessman. And his saying was, if there's time to lean, there's time to clean.
Love it.
Right?
I heard Lisa Walker. She said, the only thing you get in the break room is a bigger belt loop and a bad attitude.
Oh my God, I'm stealing that. I'm stealing that.
It's so
it's good. True.
There's so many like that. I had a girl working with me here at the network, and she was always in the break room. Always, 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 always. I was like, and then she had to leave because she couldn't afford working here anymore. And
I was just going to ask you, how did she make her rent? How fast was she out?
Well, can't say more, but it was definitely like, I never see the same people in there all like at all times, but every time I would go in there, she's in there. And I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, I get it though. I don't know. I don't get it actually.
And right. You won't.
Okay. So I like that we're kind of talking about both locations, and I think that's really cool for people listening. It's like the two locations are just different answers, right? Now, where do you find stylists? Like, the question is, like, how do you feel about recruiting or poaching or sliding in DMs? Like, how do you find people to work in the salons? Like, you have the concept. How are you marketing to find stylists? And then how are you looking to fill those suites at Air?
So for stylists, it's hard. For front desk people, it's hard to find. We've
front
done
desk
the
is
schools.
Really hard. Front desk is really hard because people want a lot of money just starting.
Yes.
And it's it always gets passed to the customer. I'm sure we could do a whole freaking episode on this, Nina.
Mm-hmm.
But like the way the economy is, the way everything is, it's always going to get passed to the customer. So like, I've got people in my salon complaining about the rent going up. And it's like, what do you guys expect? Payroll's gone up. Everything has gone up. Like
everything.
If I hire a bunch of people who suck and who get minimum wage, you're going to complain about that too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard. The price just goes up and it always gets passed to the customer. So my renters can get mad about the price going up, or they just raise their price $2 an hour and pass it to the customer. That's how
yeah.
it goes. It's inflation.
It is inflation. And I think people have a very hard time. Customers, some customers get it. You don't even have to explain it to them. And some customers don't get it, even though when they go to the grocery store, they still buy the milk, they still buy the bread, and we all know how much that jumped up. And the way I try to explain it, I write an email to our clients. Every year we do a price raise. We have to stay in business. We don't have a choice. I would love to keep the prices low. Everybody would come in. We'd be busy, nonstop, but you can't. We'll be out of business. The fastest way out of business is to not make a profit. That's, that's the and I refuse to not make a profit.
Yeah, this
you
is
know?
Not a charity. It's a business.
No,
we're not doing this all day long.
It's 24/7. It's mm-hmm. You're married. And so how are we finding people? That's the hardest part. That is the most challenging part. Not just finding people, finding the right people. We do indeed. We've had some success with Indeed. Word of mouth is a big one. Just people in the area we're going on our 10th year now. In August, going to be 10 years at the concept. So, there's a lot of kids that were kids coming to us, and now they go to cosmetology schools, and it's like, oh, let me go. I know they're not, I know I'll get a chair. I know I'll be at the blow-up bar. We provide a full training. The amount of training, what you were saying, how expensive it is. We train everyone. We pay for training. It's not just we throw you on the floor. So we try to be very selective and where we find people. We tried the cosmetology schools that for us hasn't been. I'm on the board for cosmetology schools too. And we haven't had the best luck with cosmetology schools, to be honest with you. I know some people find really good luck with them. We just haven't had the best luck with cosmetology schools. So primarily, indeed, word of mouth is how we're finding. And then for renters, literally, I would say 70% of our suites are all word of mouth referrals, which is what I envisioned would probably happen. Instagram is a big one. for renters, that's huge online. Just being in the community, salon centric, knowing about us. We're right next to two huge beauty supply stores. So, they talk about us as well, but primarily it's word of mouth. Our community is so tight knit that no matter where you go, everybody knows each other, and everybody will talk about how, these suites are better than where their friend is, and whatever the case may be. And they have their friends come and take a look and, things like that.
Awesome. Love it. So the last two questions are for the salon owner listening and for the potential or person who dreams of opening a salon. So for the person who has always wanted to open a salon, maybe they're opening one or maybe it's their dream. What advice would you give them for the stylist who wants to open a salon, like that big sister, honest advice?
Honest advice is seek out a mentor who's willing to show you what to do. I think when I was coming up, and I actually wrote this on my Instagram story the other day, it was a lot harder. Everybody wanted to protect their own number one. People were very me mine. They weren't willing to share. I had experiences with other female business owners who were not only not willing to share, but literally I had a boss tell me that I can't ask her any questions. And so I wanted to be the change that I wanted to see in the world. And I wanted to be that big sister for people. So my advice would be talk to somebody who will give you the honest advice. My other advice would be buy a salon. If you can buy one that is already established, that has the clients, because that ramp up is BITCH. When you're just starting the first 3 years, find a salon that you can afford to purchase or figure something out with the owner. There's a lot of people that it's not for the faint of heart, this business. And so there are people looking to exit that have established amazing businesses. Find a mentor. Hopefully the mentor will be the person you can buy the business from. And if you're starting out, start in a suite. Start in a suite, establish your clientele. It's such a good place to start out because it's on a smaller scale. Yes, you can't find somewhere where you can have an assistant too, so you can practice training one person versus four or five. The hardest part about owning a business is managing people. For me, I think managing people is, and I think for a lot of business owners, managing, doing payroll, doing all of that, start small. If you can, and if you want to start bigger, buy a business.
Yeah, and you can go to bizbuysell.com, not
That's
sponsored.
it.
And you can go see businesses for sale. I'm always looking for businesses for sale. I told my husband, I'm like, I want to buy like a laundromat or something. Like, just
That's
like,
it.
there's so many businesses for sale.
There's so many, but also go to a salon owner. They may not have it listed for sale. If you see a business that you're interested in, go talk to them. I've had people approach me. My clients have approached me. I wasn't looking to sell. I'm not looking to sell right now, but you never know. Somebody might.
Everything's
I might.
always for sale.
Exactly. And also today you're not looking to sell. Tomorrow you're looking to sell. That's what business is. It's like, it's you ride the wave. And if the right person comes along, you might be willing to get off the ride,
Yeah. I think it's interesting what you said about like when you were starting out, you people wanted their they kept their secrets close to the vest. When I was first starting out, I had it was really hard for me to get like information and mentorship. I had one salon owner who did not know me. Like we didn't know each other really well. We just were friends on Facebook. And I had posted something on Facebook like asking for help, but she would always DM me. She liked me for some reason. I don't know why. I mean, what's not to like? But she
Exactly.
was just like out of like just like this little angel on the side that would message me and like check in with me. If one of my stylists would leave, she'd be like, "What happened? Like, are you okay?" Like, she was just always like kind of there for me. And I remember when I opened, she's like, I was like, "Do you have any recommendations for like books or anything?" She's like, "I have this huge binder you can come make copies of." And I met her at her salon. It was the first time I ever met her in person. And she just gave it to me. And she was so generous to me. And
Wow.
it's like, a lot of other people were not like that. So I was really lucky to have her. And it's interesting because back then we didn't have the information. So we had to work 10 times harder to get it, which built that work ethic and the grit. Today, people have more information than ever, but a lot of people don't have the work ethic or the grit, or they're very anxious. I was talking about this in the last episode. Like, there's so much anxiety. It's like harder to take a risk when you're super anxious. So I just feel like it's like a different set of challenges for people. Nowadays, you have all the information. You just need the grit and the determination and
it's like the paradox of choice, though, too, because when you have too much being thrown at you, do this, no, do this, and it's conflicting information. You don't know who to listen to. Everybody's an expert these days. Anybody can go online and tell you, you know, whatever, buy my course, buy my this. That's why, you know, I'm going to plug you right now, because that's why I love the mastermind, because you have people that are going out of their way to invest in themselves. Number one, they're taking time out of their day. You have you that has a perspective, not just on business, but also on life with life experience. And, you know, you're at a good age where you're not young enough to not be able to fall back on experience, but not old enough where you're out of touch, if you will, you know. And I hope we never get to be out of touch. I think business will always keep us young. But it's really... Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
It's interesting. Yeah. And no, thank you. I love our mastermind group. It's amazing.
Me too.
It's like my favorite thing that I do is like, and it's because I have people who want to learn from me. And like on Instagram, I throw stuff up there. Like, you know, here's my statement. I don't really care what people say. But with mastermind, it's like people really want to learn from me. And it's like, those are the people I want to help the most. So it's awesome.
And we learn from each other too, which exactly. I really like. I like the fact that I can listen to someone like Mikey, who, you know, dabbles in other businesses as well. And he has his own perspective and he runs his business his way. And, you know, one thing he was talking about, he was like, I charge overtime. Why shouldn't I charge overtime? And I was like, what? I've never thought about that. That's brilliant. You know, and I think we are all different, but we're all aligned with the goal of growing this industry and making it better, not just for ourselves, but for future generations, because things evolve, things change. It's how are we going to evolve and how are we going to change that is that hopefully will have an impact on.
I love it. Okay. So the last question, this is for the salon owner listening. What do you think every salon owner needs to know or realize today in 2023? Like, what does every salon owner need to get through their head today?
That I would say that business is changing and the change is constant. We will not stand still. And what worked for us 5 years ago will not work for us today and will not bring us to the next 5 years. And that we also should realize that, you know, everybody's saying, I don't even know what the gen is, a Gen Z, Gen X, I don't know what it is, but whatever the younger generation, whatever we're calling them these days, we have a lot to learn from them. We have a lot to learn from them and we should listen. I'm not saying listen to everyone and everything, but people do have good advice. People working in your business will tell you what's up if you just give them the chance to tell you what's up. And I would say, you know, fall back on that. If you have a team, fall back on your team and listen to them and expect changes. But I think changes are easier to come by and to live through when you are pliable and when you can adapt quickly.
I love it. I love it, Nina. Thank you so much for making the time for this. These interviews have just been so amazing. And I'm so grateful for your perspective and all of the information. So before we go, can you let them know where to follow you and your information if there's anything else you want to share?
Thank you. Thank you, first of all, for having me. I'm so happy to be here with you and to chat about business. I feel like you and I can chat about business all day.
My pleasure.
You can follow Air Salon Studios on Instagram at Air Salon Studios. The concept is the concept salon_salons on Instagram. And I'm just Nina Lanson at Nina Lanson. And of course, our websites are just airsalonstudios.com and theconceptsalons.com.
Love it. Thank you so much, Nina. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, my pleasure. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we will see you on the next one.
Thank you so much for listening to Salon Ownership Unfiltered. This series has been so fun to record. I've learned so much from all of the amazing guests, and I'm so grateful that I'm able to provide this amazing free resource to all of you. It wouldn't be possible without all of my sponsors, my mastermind group, and Educate with Influence, because those amazing people and businesses support this free education. So please check out all the sponsors. Visit GinaBianca.com/podcast to get all of the information and more resources attached to this episode. I would also love to encourage you to leave a rating and review if you're loving the podcast. All right, that's it. I'll talk to you guys soon and hope you have a wonderful day, and I'll see you on the next one.